Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
For the national anthem, the games are about to begin. What a great day to be an American. What a great day to celebrate being an American citizen. To heck with the Europeans. We have something that they lost a long time ago. Ladies and gentlemen, what a great day to celebrate being an American. And out of respect for the national anthem, I will now shut my mouth until it's over. Bush's legacy, the greatest American president, is he? The Supreme Court's decision today is George W. Bush's most important legacy. For all of his faults, George W. Bush appointed solid conservative justices to the bench. Alito and Roberts, his appointees, along with Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia, defeated Ginsburg and the radical leftist wing of the court. For decades now, liberals insisted that the Second Amendment, which protects our right to keep and bear arms, did not apply to the people. But today, Bush's court asserted that it did apply to the people, that we do have the right to keep and bear arms. Today, Bush's court asserted that the socialists in Washington, D.C., and other leftist cities cannot keep guns from people who want to defend themselves from thugs and terrorists. Today, Bush's court asserted that liberal statists like Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer, who never fired a BB gun in their lives, can take their plans for grabbing guns from the American people and return them to The Hague. Now, imagine if Gore had won and appointed a corrupt trial lawyer to the court. But imagine further if Kerry had won in 2000 and had appointed the head of the ACLU to the Supreme Court. American freedom was one Supreme Court vote away from falling into the abyss, and it was George W. Bush who pulled it back from the edge. And because of this ruling, George W. Bush may be remembered as the greatest American president. Remember, America was on the verge of boiling over with anger at one liberal decision after another. Yesterday, the liberals on the Supreme Court upheld the rights of child rapists. Last week or 2 weeks ago, they upheld the rights of terrorists. The fact is that with this ruling, George W. Bush's appointees may have prevented a revolution from occurring. Remember, no Supreme Court in the history of this nation has secured our freedoms the way this single act, the single vote did today. Not FDR's court, not Reagan's court, none of them. This gives power directly to the people in a way that no other president has been responsible for. Remember, Bush has many failings, but when it comes to the core issues of our civilization, such as the Second Amendment, he does the right thing. And so as the election approaches, remember the choice that you have. You have Obama, a leftist socialist, who would give us another gun-grabbing Ginsburg on the court, or McCain, who would appoint a conservative to the court as Bush did. It's your choice. Now let's listen to some patriotic music on the Savage Nation. We'll be right back. remember what happened today. The Supreme Court has never, ever codified what the Second Amendment meant. Not since the 1770s has this issue come up. Do you realize that? I don't think you understand the times you're living in. You are living through, perhaps, amongst the most historic times in the history of this nation. We won. Do you have any idea what this means? I don't think you, most of you don't get it. Do you know? Well, let's turn it around. What if the Ruth Bader radical leftist socialist Ginsburg wing of the Supreme Court had won by one vote as they did on the child rape victim, child rape story and the terrorists' rights? And you woke up this morning and you had read that the Second Amendment has been found to mean that you cannot bear arms. You can't own a gun. I predicted there would have been uprisings in this country. I predicted there would have been insurrections across this country. I predicted there would have been an uprising against the government if this had not happened. And it just shows you what the liberals would be willing to provoke to advance their socialist agenda. But they didn't win, did they? Now, why didn't they win? They didn't win because George Bush appointed two conservative, moderate conservatives at that, by the way. These men are moderate centrist conservatives, and they are the difference between total anarchy in the streets today and total happiness in the streets today. Let me tell you, I am thrilled today. I was really terrified that I'd wake up today and say, the way this rotten, stinking liberal wing of the court is moving, rights for terrorists, rights for child rapists, I said, I might wake up in another nation this morning, and I don't know what could happen. But we won. And you know what? Today, we found out that John McCain did the right thing as well. Listen to what he said today in clip four immediately. Listen carefully.
Supreme Court ruled in favor of the Second Amendment, and obviously I'm very pleased about that decision. I have filed a brief along with 50-some other senators. Senator Obama had declined to do that. We had filed an amicus brief along with 54 other senators. So I'm pleased with that ruling. Not happy about the ruling concerning the death penalty for rapists.
All right, let's pause there. The sound is terrible, but McCain says the court ruled in favor of the Second Amendment and that he, along with 54 other senators, had filed an amicus brief in favor of the Second Amendment, but Obama declined to do so. He said he's happy about the ruling, but he's not pleased about the ruling on child rapists. He got that in. I think underneath it all, I think John McCain is the right stuff. I'm starting to see a little emergence here of the real John McCain when he comes to understand that he's got to show his true identity in order to win. So he did the right thing, by the way. And this is really good. This is really good. The fact of the matter is today, Obama weaseled out of his past condemnation of the Second Amendment. Because in the past, Obama has been a real gun grabber, as you would expect from a left winger. Remember when he mocked the folks in Pennsylvania as being a little too hot to go hunting or whatever. So today he played it cool because he understands that 70% of the American people support the right to bear arms. 70% of the American people support the right to bear arms. That's according to a liberal pollster on CNN. 70% of you, which means it's much higher than that, which means that finally the Supreme Court was in step with the American people. Thank God. All I can say to you is it's a great day to be an American. And my monologue, Bush's Legacy, the Greatest American President, is now posted on michaelsavage.com. I don't think anybody would have expected that from me today. I've been highly critical of the president for four straight years, five straight years, six straight years, for so many reasons. I don't have to reiterate them. But I will tell you that if you look back at this country, assuming it'll still be here in 50 years, and all of the air has cleared and all of the liberal are gone, they're gone in the media, and finally the dust has settled on his legacy, there will be one mountain standing above all of the other acts of George Bush. And that mountain that will stand above all of the other acts and all of the other detritus of his administration will be the fact that in his administration, the Supreme Court ruled that the Second Amendment does apply to the individual citizen's right to bear arms. And it was a direct result of George Bush's putting two moderate centrist conservatives on the Supreme Court. That will be his legacy. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
America. What a great day. I feel so alive. It seems as though there's a chance and a hope for us Americans against those left-wing, spineless, socialist rats. What a great day to be an American. 1-800-449-8255, phone number. MichaelSavage.com website. And I'm sure most Americans understand what happened today, and most Americans are very happy that they have the right to bear arms. They understand that every dictatorship, without exception, has initiated a gun-grabbing system. Hitler did it. Castro did it in Cuba right after seizing power. He took away the guns from the people, all guns, including rifles and shotguns. That's how he controls them in Cuba. Hitler did it in the 30s. One of Hitler's first executive orders was the seizure of guns. So Ruth Bader Ginsburg is no liberal. Kennedy is no liberal. Souter is no liberal. These are fascists hiding under liberal robes. Make no mistake about it. Don't go for their New York nice talk. These are evil people, in my opinion, damn it. I am so sick of treating them like they're good people. They're bad people. They want to steal your freedom. That's my opinion. And if I had the power, I'd put them all in jail. How do you like that? But I have no power. I only have the opinion of the people. Do you know that the Supreme Court, had not conclusively interpreted the Second Amendment since its ratification in 1791? You know, it's never been voted upon. They've always shunted that ball. They've never taken this case. They wouldn't touch this case. No, none of the courts would take it. I don't even know how it got before the Supreme Court. The court's 5-4 ruling today, as I said, is the first conclusive interpretation of the Second Amendment since it was ratified in the year 1791. And what does that amendment read? It says, quote, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, period, end of quote. So for years now, the libs have tried to weasel around, ooh, they didn't mean the right of the people to keep and bear arms. They meant the right of the government people working for the people. They didn't mean the right of the sheeple themselves. They meant our right to have a secret service. We have the right to bear arms, even though we hate guns. We love some people to carry guns around us because we're such rotten, stinking people. Ooh! So here it is. The basic issue today was whether the amendment protected an individual's right to own guns no matter what, which it did, or whether that right was somehow tied to service in the state militia, which Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Souter and Kennedy and the other fine, upstanding stench from the benchers said it did. Can you believe this? Stephen Breyer wrote a separate dissent in which Breyer said, in my view, there simply is no untouchable constitutional right guaranteed by the Second Amendment to keep loaded handguns in the house in crime-ridden urban areas. No, Breyer, but you certainly have the right to have an armed guard at your door, don't you? You certainly have the right to protection, don't you, Breyer? But we don't. We should be naked. You should be protected, and we should be naked. No, Breyer, you're wrong. What a day. What a day. What a day. And it's Bush's legacy here. I'm the only one in the media who's recognized how important this is from the point of view of the president's legacy. And there's been no greater critic on this side of the aisle of President Bush's decisions, from the Dubai ports deal to Harriet Myers to amnesty for illegals. I don't want to reiterate all of those other issues. Not today. Because if it was not for Bush's appointees, Alito and Roberts, you would have said goodbye to your guns. You'd have a government agent coming to your house to seize your weapons. There would be, I would say, prairie fires all over this country of insurrection. I would say people would have hid their guns. People would have joined secret militias. People would have gone underground with their guns. There might have been outright insurrection and revolution in this country had this not happened. This is an amazing day. I was terrified to wake up this morning. But I'm liberated today. Minnesota, Brad, welcome to the Savage Nation. Brad, go ahead, please. No, Brad. Brad, are you there? Dave, next up on the Savage Nation, go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Michael. You're absolutely right, 110%. This is an incredible... I'm not even a gun owner, and I can understand it. This is the most incredible decision in many years. And you know who's most upset about it besides our good friends in the Democratic Congress? Our good friends in the Middle East. They are, now they realize that America might have some cojones.
Well, they also realize that if they pull one of their little stunts next time, that the people themselves are not going to wait for the government to protect them, that their cohorts are liable to be pulled out by their hair if they do this to us again. Their hidden little cohorts getting away with murder every day of the week, hiding behind the First Amendment. We understand who they are. We know where they're hiding. It's no mystery to anybody. The government knows who they are and where they're hiding, and they're paralyzed because of the liberals on the court.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I say exactly what I mean. I mean exactly what I say. Thank you very much. If you want to have your say today on this issue, give me a call at 1-800-449. And I really do wish you'd go to my website and look at Bush's Legacy, The Greatest American President, and download it and read it. Because I'm telling you, this is going to be picked up. This will be picked up and talked about now in many different quarters and in many, many different ways by many different people who will start to say, you know something, maybe this guy's right. They're not going to give me credit. I don't need it. Bush is going to get the credit for this. And he's also going to get the brickbats from the opposition who's going to say, oh, this is such a terrible thing. Yeah, tell that to the victims of Nazi Germany. It's a terrible thing. What if the Jews had had a 45 caliber handgun, every Jew? What if the Jews in Germany had each had a Smith & Wesson Springfield, Massachusetts, Performance Center 45 caliber handgun with a clip in it? And every time one of those Gestapo agents came to the door and knocked and said, come with us, please pack your bag, don't cause any trouble, don't make any noise, the Jew came out shooting, knowing he was going to die anyway, and he took three Gestapo agents with him. There would have not been a Holocaust. And I've read on this, I've studied it over and over again. If three Gestapo agents have been killed in the doorways of the apartment buildings in Munich, I can guarantee you Hitler would have called off the rounding up and the cattle cars. Celebrate Savage. Your freedom. I don't know. July 4th is coming up on top of it all. I mean, this is a, you know, if you can't celebrate this, I don't know what you're going to celebrate. We've had an awful lot of defeats over the last few years. You know, and it takes a lot of courage to keep going on sometimes, to remain conscious, politically conscious, when you have one defeat after another. But here we have a victory that should really invigorate the conservatives of America. It should invigorate everybody. But let's say the conservatives of America should be greatly invigorated by this. And it should give you hope that we have hope. You know, should give you hope that we have hope. I mean, it's a great day. I'm a little numb today because it's not just this. I have a number of other things that have been going on in my existence that I'll tell you about next week that I cannot divulge at this time. But I've been up 20 hours a day working on something. I'm working on my autobiography, which will be available to you in a couple of months. And I've been, you know, let's leave it at that. A lot of stuff going on, an awful lot of stuff going on day and night and night and day. Never thought it would come to you. But, you know, there's an old saying, and it kept coming back to me in the thick and thin. Actually, in the thick of all of the things that I've been dealing with in the last week or two, I didn't want it anymore. I wanted to walk away from it all and say, what do I need this for? What do I need this trouble for? What do I care about? All these political things and business things and medical and this and that. I don't want it anymore. All you want to do at a certain point is turn away from it. And then I thought something kept coming back in my head, which is that if it doesn't kill you, it'll make you stronger. That's all that kept coming back over and over again. If it doesn't kill you, it will make you stronger. I got to tell you, it made me stronger. I feel like a stronger person from all of this dealing with all of this stuff, much stronger. So, you know, there's a lot of truth to even homilies. It's funny, I once studied folklore, not to get too far off the path here. I once studied folklore for a brief period of my anthropology studies, and one of the anthropologists taught us that folklore that lasts, folklore that is handed down generation to generation, is usually passed down because there's truth to it. In other words, if there was no truth to that folkloric tale or whatever, it wouldn't be passed down from generation to generation. Just the people found it to be true, or that there's some degree of truth to that folkloric tale. I can give you numerous examples of them. I don't have a lexicon of them in my hands right now. but except the one I just gave you. If it doesn't kill you, it'll make you stronger. Trial by fire. If it doesn't kill you, it'll make you stronger, that kind of thing, you know. Anyway, how do you feel today? How do you feel today? What does this mean to you? This has an effect on every American listening to this show. Certainly to every American in the country, but more specifically to every American listening to this show, okay? Arthur, New Jersey, how do you feel today? Welcome to the program.
Dr. Savage, good to talk to you. You want to know why we have a Second Amendment in this country? Take a look at what the scum in Zimbabwe are doing. You want to know why we have a Second Amendment? Take a look at the front page of today's New York Times and tell me what you see.
Hold on. Hold on. I'll take you up on that offer. A little girl whose feet were chopped off by her wonderful friends in Zimbabwe.
That's right.
Oh, no. An 11-month-old boy with broken legs found shelter in a church. Oh, these must have been the compassionate folks from Zimbabwe. They didn't cut the baby's feet off. They only broke the legs. So these are actually the liberals of Zimbabwe.
Yeah, the kids.
Yeah, these are the liberal goon squad from Mugabe, the Hitler of Africa. What good is the UN if they don't go in and take that bum out? Tell me why the UN exists.
You know, Dr. Savage, you know, years ago, you know, the United States used to arm the Mujahideen in Afghanistan against the Soviets. How come we aren't supplying guns to the people of Zimbabwe to overthrow that bum?
Well, I'll tell you why, because we found out by supplying arms to the Mujahideen, they became the Taliban.
Yeah.
And so if we provided arms to the opposition party in Zimbabwe to overthrow this dictator, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, they could wind up invading South Africa with them. So we got to be careful with the arms that we spread around the world. That's why. Maybe they got a little wisdom at the end of the day. But the fact of the matter is, yes, it's a good day for you. Do you own a gun?
No, sir, I am pro-choice with guns. I choose not to own a gun, and I support the right to choose to own a gun or not to own a gun.
I want to ask you something. You are married with children?
No, sir.
So you're alone. Why do you fear having a gun?
I just don't trust myself with a firearm. You know,
You know what? You're a very honest man. There's nothing wrong with that statement. Are you over the age of 30, by the way?
Yeah, I'm 35.
You know what? The day will come when you do trust yourself with a firearm, and you should get one. But you're a very wise man. Not everyone should have a gun, by the way. If a person feels that they have a good day, a bad day, they're unstable some days, or they're slightly suicidal, depressed, they shouldn't have a gun, frankly. I'm very clear on that. They should make that choice not to have a gun. So, although the Second Amendment to me is an absolute right to bear arms, it also means you should use your own judgment. And I thank you for that honesty. So there it is. I'm suffering a migraine right now, a severe one. I haven't had one in years like this. I had them as a little boy. I cured them myself at age 18. I haven't had one in years. I got one today that feels like someone's taking sticking it in my eye. Someone's actually got something in the eye, and it's terrible. You know, combined with like a nausea feeling, I'm serious, really a wipeout. It'll go away. I know what it is. It's all to do with a lot of things. It'll be gone soon. It will be gone soon. Roswell, New Mexico, the land of the UFO. Robert, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I feel very good today. I'm happy. My guns are safe, and I know my family's going to be safe, and I know that I can pass my guns to my sons. And that's a day to rejoice.
Well, what do you own?
Everything. I got an AK-47 for my high school graduation.
What'd you go to, Kandahar High?
No. My grandmother just said, what do you want? And I said, I want that AK. And she said, you got it.
I thought maybe you went to Mujahideen High School somewhere.
No, I love living out here. That's why I still live in this part of the country, is because of the gun laws.
It's an interesting thing. Let's talk about it. I don't do guns because it's a bad topic for most radio shows, but today's the day to do them. I lived in California from the early 70s, and I remember the freedom of being able to go buy a gun, what it felt like. In fact, I can go back years when I visited California in the late 60s and bought an Arctic Mauser. I remember that gun, and the report of that gun when I fired it off in a national forest where it was legal to do so, the sound of that gun going off was was overwhelmingly powerful. And as a kid from New York, it would only fire target guns like 22s in my high school basement, by the way. I keep repeating the story, but it's very hard for most Americans to believe this. In my day, when I went to high school, Queens, New York, Jamaica High School, there was a rifle team. And we practiced in the basement of the school. And guess what? Nobody ever shot themselves and nobody ran through the halls killing anybody. It was a different age. Nobody was on drugs, okay? And the teachers were all ex-veterans from World War II. They were the men. They were our mentors. They would have broken our heads open if we tried to pull anything like that. They would have cracked us across the head with a gun butt. And we knew it. They were tough guys with hair on their arms, if you know what I mean. So the point is, now you go forward. I remember coming out here. I bought that Arctic Mauser, and it was legal, and it was wonderful. Then I had to go back to New York, so I had to sell it and ditch it. Then when I moved out to California in the 70s, I remember the freedom of being able to go to a gun store. I could not believe I could actually go into a store, buy a rifle for my house for protection, buy a shotgun. I applied for handguns. I bought handguns. They were legal that I could keep in the house. I said, my God, what a great state. Now, we say, well, what do you need it for? What do you need it for? You take a look at the state going back to Charles Manson, the psychos roaming the hills of California, the sickos in this state. You damn well you need a gun in this county. There's no one going to help you if someone comes in your house. I love the ads on TV, and I have nothing against burglar alarms. They're wonderful. They show a couple, a white couple, and they're in their bed. All of a sudden, they hear breaking glass. She gets up first, and she goes, oh, and who's there? It's a white burglar who looks like a corporate executive. Oh, yeah, right. And she calls hubby, and he jumps up. And or she, no, the latest one is it's a woman alone with a child, right? The single mother they're aiming it at. And oh my God, she looks down and she sees a white male outside the door, and she picks up the phone and she dials the security company, and he runs away. And yes, hello, this is Brinks. Help is on the way. Well, I have nothing against Brinks. They do a fine job, I'm sure. But let me tell you something. If help wasn't there at the front door, 10 seconds later, she would have been dead. The house would have been on fire and ransacked within 3 minutes. So don't fool yourself. The police do a very good job, and they're very brave. They're the ones who have to do the shootouts, not you. And they're darn good at it. Man, every time I see a police shootout, it's amazing what their training does for them. They hit a guy in the head or in the hand right away. Woo, what shots. They're really good at it. Man, you really got to do this on a regular basis to be good with a gun. And if you own a gun, do yourself a favor. Go to a range on a regular basis. You don't have to be a fanatic. But, you know, look, I'm no expert, but let me tell you something. If you've never fired a gun or you rarely fired a gun and you just bought a gun for home protection, that's not good enough. The first time you pull that trigger, the flash and the bang is going to scare you. You're probably going to drop the gun. And that's not good, obviously not good. You've got to learn what's coming. There's no earmuffs. There's no eye protection. When you're in a range, you're shooting with earmuffs and eye protection. You try shooting that gun one day without earmuffs and without eye protection, because that's what's going to happen in a home invasion situation. That's what's going to happen in a home defense situation. And I think you need to know what to expect. The flash is overwhelming. These guns belch fire. The sound is overwhelming, and the average person is not ready for it. You get what I'm saying to you? So there it is. I'm no expert. You know, I'm not Macho Mike with the gun. I'm just an average guy who happens to have had a gun since high school, off and on. And I'm a reasonably good shot. But the experts are the police, by the way. And, of course, the marksmen outside the police, outside police work. So, look, the big issue today is the fact that it was our Supreme Court. And we've had so many defeats, right? You know, child rape law yesterday. The same liberals say there was no right to execute a child rapist. Well, you know my opinion on that. I told you what I would do. It's on michaelsavage.com, the soundbite. Not only the death penalty, but before the death penalty, they are mutilated by the state. They are castrated by the state, rather, on pay-per-view. And any money that is raised to watch the castration of the child rapist goes to child molestation or child rape service agencies or helplines, or the families of children, or children themselves who have been molested or raped, wherever. Then the rapist is not killed, by the way, right away. He's sewn back up. He is sewn back up, and he has to live as a mutilated, castrated being in a prison area so that he knows what he did to that little child, whether it be a boy who will never be a man or a girl who will never be a woman. That animal will know the agony of what he has caused, and I shall return.
Savage.
I was a little boy. I grew up on Victory at Sea. It was one of my favorite shows. I used to love watching Victory at Sea. I mean, of course, it was a documentary. The sea is never that fair, as shown in Victory at Sea. But believe me, some of that documentary footage showed what it was all about, such as a fleet caught in a hurricane. It was Admiral Halsey's fleet caught in a hurricane, with airplanes being knocked off the decks, with huge aircraft carriers plowing through hurricane-ridden seas with the bows dipping into the water. I mean, astounding. I remember years later when I was in Fiji or Tahiti, I don't remember where, on one of my plant collecting trips, I was on an ocean liner. I had to work my way there as a lecturer to get myself there, which I did. It was fun. And one of the ships had a contingent of passengers who were going back for a reunion to the Solomon Islands. They were all ex-naval aviators. These guys at the time, I don't know, I was a much younger man. They must have been at that time in their 70s. I couldn't tell you the age, late 70s. Wonderful old men, and I had no idea what they would, who they were until we started to talk. And they said, oh, you're an anthropologist, botanist, how nice, blah, 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 the natives, this and that. And we got to talk. They told me stories of those seas on airplanes and on ships. You have no idea what heroes these guys were. I mean, unless you really study what heroes they were, you have no idea what sacrifices they made. And frankly, every mission was a suicide mission, by and large. We say, oh, the enemy had suicide pilots. Believe me, these pilots were ready to die for our country virtually every day of their life in the service, and they knew it. Those were suicide missions to a great extent, and they were willing to do it. These guys were wonderful heroes. Here's one little story one of the guys told me. They were on a convoy of ships caught in a hurricane, right? I think it was off the Solomons. So the hurricane is, the ships are obviously bucking, this and that. One of the men falls off the deck of an aircraft carrier. He was on the stern of the aircraft carrier. He falls off the deck of the aircraft carrier, and the wave and the surge lifts him up and throws him onto the deck of the following ship and saved his life. They said it was an absolutely true story. I mean, amazing stories, you know, just amazing stories. New Jersey, Alex, go ahead, please. What's on your mind today?
Michael, how you doing? I just wanted to talk about the decision today that came down. And what you just addressed earlier about the Second Amendment with no case law adjudicating it since 1789. And the reason for that is that it was a common sense amendment. Up until the 60s liberal hair-splitting and semantical game-playing, everybody understood the plain language of the amendment.
Yeah, I agree. Sure, in the 1920s, nobody even would have challenged it because the country was rock-solid American. And then with the entrance of the communists during the Warren Court and the communists during the hippie revolution entering the law schools and coming out not only with ponytails, but with ponytails on their mind, they started to challenge every tenet of America.
I haven't seen the opinion yet, but was Kennedy in the majority or was he in the minority on it?
I cannot answer the question directly, and I don't want to sound as though. Let me read this for you right now. 5-4 again, but one of them swung over to the conservative side. Let us see. Here we go. It was Scalia, Roberts, so Alito, Kennedy, and Thomas. So Kennedy, instead of siding with the child rape lovers, went over with the conservatives this time. The dissenters were Ginsburg, and I'm sure Ginsburg was behind this. Ginsburg, remember, was the chief counsel for the ACLU when she was appointed to the Supreme Court, which should have disqualified her. I'll repeat that over and over again. This woman has no right being on the Supreme Court. She should be impeached and thrown off the Supreme Court because of her background. She has pushed the ACLU agenda on that court from the day she entered it. But the fact of the matter is, Kennedy finally came to his senses. So there's your answer.
He had the sodomy case two or three years ago, the terrorist case last week, yesterday's atrocious decision. This mediocre justice, and that's what he is. He's a mediocre justice who's doing nothing but trying to pander to liberal historians by making so-called groundbreaking decisions in those three
No way, but he did the right thing today, so you got to give the guy credit, don't you? It's like I gave Bush credit today when I said Bush's legacy may be the greatest American president simply because of this. This is so critical to our freedom that I think it could wipe away a lot of the other things and mistakes that Bush did, rather. So I wouldn't rush to judgment and say that Kennedy is a bad guy. There is no question in my mind that Ginsburg, Souter, and Breyer and Stevens are diehard anti-liberty people. That's my opinion. Thanks for the call. The other one is a swing voter. I have so many good callers. 1-800-449-8255. Did you hear my brilliant monologue? The Supreme Court decision today is George W. Bush's most important legacy. For all of his faults, George W. Bush appointed solid conservative justice bench Alito and Roberts as appointees along with Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia, defeated Ginsburg and the radical leftist wing of the court. That's pretty good. It is pretty good. You should mark it down. The NRA, Wayne LaPierre, said, gun rights supporters hailed the decision. Wayne LaPierre said, I consider this the opening salvo in a step-by-step process of providing relief for law-abiding Americans everywhere that have been deprived of this freedom, unquote. So there you go. When I moved to San Francisco, there were several gun stores. And then one hippie administration after another, one pot-smoking, drug-taking supervisor after another drove the gun stores out of this city. Family businesses that have been here since the gold rush were driven out of town by these evil statists, these evil communists who want all power in the hands of the commissars of the new America. And guess what? They're running and hiding today, or they're running to a gun store in the surrounding areas to buy one themselves, by the way.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage is very, very happy today. Drained, but happy. This is the beginning of the new America. Today is the turning point. Today is the turning point. We were insulted week after week by this liberal wing of the Supreme Court. Today we have something to celebrate. You know, turn it off already. They can't multitask. It's impossible to listen to me in the music. I've tried it. Let me tell you something. The Supreme Court decision today ratifying what was in the Constitution the first time since it was ratified in 1791, it's an historic day. This has never been fought about in the Supreme Court. It's been attempted to get it up to the libs, but it's always been pushed back down. And coming on the heels of yesterday's horrendous decision saying that the states have no right to execute a child rapist, and the decision 2 weeks ago that the Islamo-fascists in Guantanamo have the same rights as you do, which they don't. They most certainly do not. In fact, they're trying to take your rights away. You know, I love this liberal thing. I'd rather see 99 guilty people go free than one innocent man be arrested. I'll tell you what. You want to hear what I would like to see? I'd like to see one innocent man go to prison than 99 guilty men be allowed in the streets. That's what I'd like to say to you, you idiots. You have everything upside down. And that's why these terrorists mock us. They know how to get around our laws. They're smarter than you are, you putz. You putz, you think you're so smart because you got all A's into law school, you schmuck. You're suicidal. You may think you know everything because you screw people in the courts because your Uncle Hermie is the judge. Or you smeared off enough people getting into the courts. You're not smart. You're a moron. You're digging the grave of your own life and your family and your country. You idiots, straighten up. You lawyers, you. All these smart guys from Brooklyn and Queens and wherever. Real smart boys pulling the wool over the average person. Well, anyway, today is our day. Today is a good day. And let it be the beginning of the new America. 5-4, we won. And maybe, a few of those fours on the Supreme Court will finally go to their reward. Maybe they'll cross the river Styx finally. You know, naturally I'm talking about, and I mean that. Maybe finally they will just finally understand what fetid human beings they are and how they've tried to destroy lives all their life with their black robes. Maybe they'll decide to go across the river Styx and join the devil where they came from. Jack, New York, how do you feel today?
Hey, Michael, great to speak to you.
Thanks.
Hey, I'm recently retired NYPD sergeant who actually worked in a unit that targeted illegal handguns in the street. And it is a great day. It's a great decision for us today.
Well, now, illegal handguns are still illegal. I mean, illegal handguns are still illegal. They didn't become legal, did they, Jack?
No, they did not. They did not. And also, I just want to
make... remember, most of the gun crime in America is committed by felons. Ex-felons who have guns which will still be illegal. Let's not forget that. And just let's remember that the laws forbidding the carrying of firearms by felons or the mentally ill should remain the law.
That's exactly right, Mike. None of the guys that I've taken handguns off the streets had a legal right to possess those guns. And on top of that, the local laws are in place. They're strong, and they work. And
that's right. And all of these foreigners from foreign gangs all over this country all carry guns. They are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens are not permitted to own guns. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So they're not going to have all of a sudden have the right to carry a weapon. The mentally ill will not be allowed to carry a weapon, which means it rules out 98% of the politicians in America should not be able to carry a gun.
That's correct, Michael.
Well, you guys have to do the hard work. You did it anyway. I mean, I don't know how street cops do it, particularly in violence-ridden areas. I don't know how they do these jobs. The opposition is so incredibly insane and dangerous and has such little respect for life, Jack. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I remember learning that the difference between the American soldier and the foreign soldier is that the American soldier had a respect for life and that the foreign soldier had no respect for life. They were taught that their own life didn't mean anything. Hasn't that changed in your lifetime?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I went on the NYPD about 22 years ago, and the difference from then, just back then, 22 years ago, until I recently retired, it definitely has changed tremendously.
Well, thanks for doing your service in New York City, and thanks for listening to the Savage Nation. New Orleans, Steve, welcome. You're on the air. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Afternoon, Dr. Savage.
Thank you, sir.
I really don't think that the Supreme Court people are as stupid as they seem. I mean, I'm from the South. We not only consider it our Second Amendment right, but it's a birthright for us. I mean, nobody would even, we would never even let them come close to taking our guns from us. I don't care who they are or what their agenda is.
All right, Steve, are you still there? He got cut off. Yeah. Well, I was worried about that. And I believe me, I know the man was right. That let us say that the five libs on the Supreme Court had swung the other way. And they said, no, you have no right to bear arms. Now, let me ask you something. What is the logistics of seizing handguns in the United States of America and seizing guns in general? What are the logistics of that? Who does it? How long do you have to turn it in? Who starts legislating this? Do the police then get to go to everyone's house and check for guns? And how many citizens would not give up their guns? There'd be shootouts all over this country the day that happened. People would have to hide guns. Believe me, we just missed the revolutionary bullet here in this country. And maybe Kennedy is the one man who understood what was at stake, while those other four morons, those other psychopathic dissenters, didn't understand that they could have fomented a revolution in the country. Ferris in Hartford, Connecticut, go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage.
Go ahead,
I'd like
please.
to congratulate you and all right-thinking people around the country on having a day to celebrate for a change.
Well, we do. We're all celebrating. It's nothing to do with me. I didn't do anything. You should thank George Bush for having appointed two conservative Supreme Court justices, Scalia and Alito and Roberts. I mean, this is the worst nightmare for the liberals. Remember how they tried to get Clarence Thomas? They electronically hung him. Remember what they did?
Yeah,
the wonderful liberals who pretended they love black people, the first black on the Supreme Court, what they said about him and what they tried to do to that man because they did not want a conservative on that court. The wonderful liberals, how they treated him as a, not as a slave, they treated him as a non-human.
Yeah, but don't be so sure that you had nothing to do with this. You mentioned the swing vote a minute ago, Kennedy. Imagine he could have just as easily come down on the side of fascism.
Absolutely. Came out yesterday on the side of child rape.
But remember what you just said. See, a minute ago you said that he understood the possibility of a revolution. And what do you think that you've had to do with creating that awareness in the mind of a robe on the Supreme Court? I think quite a bit.
Nothing. Nothing, because I'm not a revolutionary. I'm a talk show host.
You're exposing the left for what it is. You're calling it.
Well, I will put it to you this way. In the sense that this show is heard across the country and that it has a large audience of 8 to 10 million listeners a week, probably much higher than that. As soon as the people meters come in, we'll find out. But put that aside, it's a large audience and largely conservative, not exclusively, but largely. I believe they learned that there's an intelligent and vigorous conservative base in this country that is not simply going to roll over because they slam a gavel down.
Without a doubt. And when you look at it from the other standpoint, there is some concern looking at this negatively from the standpoint that the glass is only half full, and that is that we came so close that we have more idiots who in their
But these four left wing radicals, and I don't have to repeat their names. I will later. These four, but they're really under the sway of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She has been known to be the most pushy member of the Supreme Court in history. I read about this over and over again. She imposed her will on everybody in that court, and she pushes some of those guys around like they're beaten husbands. The fact of the matter is, it's all her doing, the radical leftist movement of this court. Why? Because she came from the ACLU. She never should have been confirmed. In fact, there should be a movement in this country to impeach her and throw her off the Supreme Court on one basis and one basis only. Is that she was an activist on the left wing when she joined the court, and she never should have been appointed. Take a look at every Supreme Court appointee that Bush tried to put forward. Look at the fights that were brought up over the most minor issue. Now, could you imagine if George Bush had wanted to appoint someone to the Supreme Court from the Thomas More Law Center, for example, the good people who are defending Chisani, or from any of the other great conservative legal foundations, the Alliance Foundation, for example, there are a few others. The left would have gone crazy and say they're automatically disqualified. They have been activist lawyers. They can't go on the Supreme Court. Well, why did Ginsburg get on the Supreme Court? The answer is because Republicans like Orrin Hatch ushered her into the Supreme Court. Orrin Hatch, I can name all of the rhinos. That other one from Pennsylvania, that goofball. Arlen Specter, the man who gave us the girl in a trunk. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Don't miss the monologue that I wrote, Bush's Legacy, the Greatest American President, ? Now, I realize that it sounds odd coming from me since I've been such an ardent critic of President Bush on so many issues over the years. And these issues are important. They haven't gone away. Immigration remains a great issue. But if you look back 20, 30 years from now and you say, well, what did Bush actually accomplish as a president? And you realize that under his administration, the Second Amendment was codified for the first time since 1791. giving all of us law-abiding citizens who want to protect ourselves and our families the unequivocal, for the rest of our lives and our children's lives, forever, the right to bear arms. Forever. This is forever. Don't you get it? This is forever. This is like Roe v. Wade, okay, in reverse. And that can be challenged because of the way that was presented, but this can't be challenged because Roe v. Wade was not in the abortion is not in the Constitution. The right to bear arms is in the Constitution. And there was never an ambiguity to those of us who understood what the intent was of the founders. It was only with the cockamamie hippie liberals that emerged during the Warren Court and those who went to law school and then became judges and so-called legal scholars that they started to tamper with the Constitution itself. Just as they're going to try to come after us on the so-called fairness doctrine, it's going to be the same battle. We'll win that one clearly. Nancy Pelosi or no Nancy Pelosi. Garibaldi himself couldn't take away the right to free speech in this country. Mussolini himself couldn't take away our right to free speech. Never mind Pelosi. She's not Mussolini, but she may think she is. Mussolini in a skirt. Did you hear what she said today? It was amazing. This woman is so out of touch with reality that she says this. She says that despite the Supreme Court decision to strike down its gun ban, the District of Columbia will still be able to regulate firearms. This is what Pelosi said, quote, "I think it still allows the District of Columbia to come forward with a law that's less pervasive," Pelosi said at a weekly briefing Thursday. "I think the court left a lot of room to run in terms of concealed weapons and guns near school." Well, of course it does. Scalia himself said it does. So don't make it sound like you suddenly are passing new laws again to show you have power. You just lost, and so did the liberal wing lost. This is the biggest loss they've had in their entire life, by the way. Oh, sure, they won on behalf of child rapists. They won on behalf of a terrorist. Those are real victories for all the smart boys from Columbia and NYU. They should be real proud the next time they go meet their father or their mother or they go to their grave. They should say, "Mommy, I did a wonderful thing. I gave rights to terrorists who want to kill us. I gave them the rights that I have." The mother should rise from the grave and pull Marvin into the grave, into the crypt with him, and say, "You moron, I didn't leave the old country. Your grandfather didn't leave the old country that you should become a moron. You idiot, you. With all your brains, with all your A's in law school, look what you became in this country." That's just a little fantasy I have from time to time. Graveyard fantasies. Oh, God. Grand Rapids, Steve, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Michael, it's an honor to speak with you again. I am an off-duty police officer carrying a concealed weapon. I want to applaud the court for this decision. A police department is only as good as the citizens that it serves. Now, my point is McCain. You said that he would be one appointing more conservative justices. However, I recall a couple of months ago Senator Dole scolding the golfer about being so critical on McCain. And one of the things that he had mentioned in his scolding of the golfer was that they were misled by the Souter appointment. Now, remember, McCain was directly or indirectly involved in the appointment of David Souter. Would you agree with that?
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, McCain is a hybrid. McCain is not a conservative. We know that. McCain is a hybrid, and it's very hard to determine which way he would go with judges. Maybe that's something he should be pinned to the wall with right now.
I agree.
I think this is something to campaign for, that for all of you listening to this show, you know McCain will not come on this show or any other conservative talk show. You know that he's terrified to meet the real voters out there, the voters actually who could put him in office or keep him from office by not voting. He's afraid of you. Now, he's going to continue to have rallies between now and November Election Day. If you go to these rallies, why don't you press him at these so-called town halls? Why don't you get into these town halls as a moderate and then sneak in a question on McCain? When you become president, would you guarantee the voters that you would support true constitutionalists to the U.S. Supreme Court? That's all you got to ask him. Forget the word conservative. He'll never answer your question. True constitutionalist is even better. Jason, San Francisco, go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I'd like to expand the conversation to maybe who Obama might pick in the next election for some appointment, say.
What? If Obama became president, God forbid? The head of the ACLU would likely become either a federal judge or a Supreme Court justice.
How do you like this? Attorney General Kamala Harris, San Francisco? Tell the people
who I could. You want to have some comic relief. Sure, let's come up with some names. How about Attorney General Al Sharpton?
She's Obama's.
How about Secretary of Health and Human Services Jesse Jackson? How about Secretary of the Army? It is a day to take stock, take inventory. You live in the greatest country on earth. The Europeans can go to Hades for all I care. You know, we're not moving towards Europe. Now, suddenly, we're Americans again. This is the most fundamental American right. We all love our freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. The Europeans have that. Or do they? No, they don't. They've lost it. They've lost the freedom of speech. If they criticize homosexuals, for example, they can have their churches closed down. Or in Canada, they can have their books burned. Or they can be put in jail for criticizing Islamic fascists. No, they don't have any freedoms left. They're not our model. They're not a statue of liberty. They're a statue of cowardice. They're a rock of cowardice. We are the statue of liberty, and this country was founded on the principles of liberty. Make no mistake about it. This is the most important. In many ways, this amendment in some ways trumps all of the others. What is the good of freedom of speech and freedom of assembly if you don't have a gun to defend yourself? Do you hear what I just said to you? I mean, think of what I just said to you. When you have an overbearing government, and make no mistake about it, you want to get really down and dirty on this issue? You know what the Second Amendment was passed for? To support the First Amendment. The Second Amendment was written to make sure that we still had a First Amendment because they knew the day would come that despots in black robes and despots in state halls and federal halls of injustice would try to take away our rights, not only to bear arms. No, that would be number one. But the next day, we'd get the right of assembly taken away. And after that, the freedom of speech would be taken away. And what would we have to defend ourselves with against these mandarins? The answer is nothing. Nothing. When you consider that there are 1,000 mandarins ruling over 300 million people, what do I mean by 1,000 mandarins? I mean 1,000 bureaucrats. That means the executive, that means the legislative, that means the judicial, and that means all branches of government. There's no more than 1,000 of them. And they are so drunk on their power that they have become like the mandarins of ancient China, who ruled with the long fingernails, with an imperiousness not seen since. And here we have a growing imperial tendency across the nation. Have you tried to get your street paved in your local town? I have. You want to see imperiousness? Try a little town in Marin County and get a street paved. When you have a guy who thinks he's God Almighty, corrupt street paver. He gives out no-bid contracts, but you try to get your street paved, and he tells you to drop dead. And who do you turn to? Well, you're too busy to bother suing him, which you could do and win. Now go all the way up the line. Wherever you turn, there's a tendency towards this imperiousness. All the way up the line, right up to the Supreme Court. So we won. Ginsburg and the other lib gun grabbers have lost. Will Bush's legacy be the greatest American president because of this? There are other stories on MichaelSavage.com which I don't want to blow off. Was Sarkozy farewell incident suicide or assassination try? You can vote on that on the poll. Senate blows $50 billion on world AIDS. Seven Republican senators block Bush's bill to fight AIDS because it's not to fight AIDS. The bill is to feather the nest of dictators in Africa. So they can go to a Geneva and get more prostitutes and more jewelry and more cars. That's where the money will go. If it actually went for treatment and drugs for the people, I wouldn't be against it. But I'd say start here, not there. But most of that money's going to wind up in the hands of dictators around the world. We don't have that kind of money. Let them go to Saudi Arabia and get it. Let them go to Kuwait and get it. Let them go to Russia and get it. What are we giving away money like it's the 1950s and we can afford the Marshall Plan? You know, we'll be walking around with a tin cup on the planet soon, a beggar's cup, giving it away. Suddenly we have money to write. What else do I have? Suspect in officer's death freed by Mexican authorities in Los Angeles. U.S. officials have expressed shock that a Mexican judge had freed a man in prison in connection with the death of a U.S. Border Patrol agent in California. There's another story on the website about Mexican military. Mexican military invading a home or homes in Arizona in order to kill enemies of the drug cartels right here in our country. That's what's coming to us. Employer arrests could follow immigration raid. That's good news. There are so many other stories, I don't even want to paraphrase them. City aims to test every Bronx adult for HIV. That's interesting. Why the Bronx? What are they all? Gang member arrested in killing of dad and two sons. This is a local story in San Francisco. They're so heartbreaking, I can't even tell it. But the killer is the member of a notoriously violent Hispanic street gang who killed a San Francisco father and two sons who was simply coming home from a family dinner and simply went down the wrong alley and blocked this piece of garbage and his gangbangers. And then he said, I'm sorry, and backed up down the alley, and they went by without a word. They killed all of them in the car. And the mayor is presiding over gay marriages here. Not one word from the mayor. We have an out-of-control homicide epidemic in the city, and this guy does nothing except undermine the police. Don't make any mistake about it. The police in this city are plenty tough and capable of doing their job. It's just that they foisted a female police chief on them whose hat falls off her head, who has not fired a gun in years. That's what they have to deal with in the city of San Francisco. I see the cops. They're plenty capable of taking the gang members down. We have tax squads equal to the best in this country. The problem is we have a mayor that is from another planet and a police chief who is really not a police chief. She's a factotum who has no respect from the, of the police themselves. Here's another story on the website. Soldier killed after reenlisting to save his home. This will rip your guts out. Guys from New York, Long Island, black guy, came back from Afghanistan, tried to make it in America. There was some foreclosure on his house. He needed the money. He reenlisted to save his family's home, and he got killed over this last week from an improvised device. That's some story. That's a terrible story, but that's the price they're paying for our freedom. And make no mistake about it. Saudi marriage official says one-year-old bride's okay. Oh, boy, oh, boy. And we think all religions are equal. We think all cultures are equal. We think multiculturalism means that all cultures are equal. Oh, are you mistaken? Are you mistaken? Just look at Zimbabwe. You tell me that culture's equal to yours? And then finally, I put a health story up on the bottom left of michaelsavage.com. Many of you take omega-3 fatty acids from fish oils. We know that. Marine omega-3 fatty acids are extremely important for cardio health, EPA, DHA, and we know all about it. But this little article tells you about plant relatives of omega-3s. It's another chain of fatty lipids that are found in plants, you know, botanicals, that are related to omega-3s that are extremely important for your health. So read it. That's all. It's on the website. It's free. Chicago, Charlotte, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. I turned on the radio this evening, and the first thing was a national anthem, and I stood up, and I sang with you. And thank you very, very much. And I believe in everything you say.
You know, we never hear the national anthem except at ball games, and they usually use doofuses to sing the national anthem. They got to get a little, you know, creative and hip. They have people singing off key or whatever. Instead of singing it with any respect, they sing it like it's a song, you know what I mean? Instead of a worship. That's what they do now. It's like just another song, like a pop tune. I'm surprised they don't put it to rap lyrics. I can do a pretty good job. You know, like, oh, say, man, can you see, man? But I don't want to do that. 1-800-449-8255. This ruling should invigorate the entire conservative base. This ruling should invigorate the entire conservative movement. But when you realize that 70% of the American people, according to CNN, which is, of course, biased to begin with, support the right to carry on, to bear arms. 70%, that means it's 85. So there's only a small minority of people who wanted guns to be seized. A very small minority. They don't represent 50% of the public. Even liberals like to have guns because they're afraid of you. Even liberals want to have guns because they're afraid of the right wing. So they're glad they have guns. So that's good. We all win. As long as we don't use them, you know, in an idiotic manner. They're wonderful. But again, if you're unstable, you shouldn't have a gun. If you have young children around, you should be very careful. If you're on medication, I don't think you should have a gun in the house. If you're a bipolar, I don't think you should have a gun. That would rule out 98% of those in politics. Thank God they have Secret Service protection because I don't think they're capable of it themselves. One thing I've discovered all the years I've seen this argued about guns, the people who don't want guns in their house are generally – no, I'm not saying this usually I'm a wise guy and sarcastic – I don't mean this in any sarcastic manner. The people I have found in my personal life who've told me they don't want a gun in the house. They're otherwise nice people, but they're afraid of their own impulses. They're afraid of themselves. They're afraid they'll pick it up and shoot themselves, or in the midst of an argument with their wife, they'll kill the wife. No, that is really what they're afraid of having. Why they're afraid of having a gun. That's 90% honestly, that's 90% of their fear of having a gun in the house. And they shouldn't. If that's, you know, if they're that way, they shouldn't. And that's all there is to it. There's no obligation for you to have a gun in your house. The Second Amendment doesn't say you must have a gun in your house, you know. It says you can have a gun in your house. So we won, they lost. New York, John, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, hi. My central premise is that the Second Amendment doesn't have anything to do with guns, and I have written a book that proves it.
Wait, it has nothing to do with guns? So what do the arms mean? The right to carry, to bear arms means what? To carry someone else's arms around under your arms? You mean human arms, not weapons? What do you mean it has nothing to do with guns?
The term bear arms means render military service. It doesn't mean carry weapons.
Well, you're wrong. You just lost. You know, you're fighting the wrong battle. You know, your friends on the Supreme Court tried that for years, and they lost today. John, this was never challenged. This was never, argued before the Supreme Court. Since the Second Amendment was ratified in 1791, it's never been argued in the Supreme Court until yesterday or whenever it was argued. And you lost, John. Certainly your opinion hasn't gone away, but it's over. You lost forever. Do you understand that?
Can I prove it to you?
Well, wait. Before you prove it to me, do you acknowledge there's a thing called the U.S. Supreme Court?
Yes.
Do you acknowledge that the Supreme Court ruled that we have a right to bear arms, even though you don't agree with them? Do you agree with the fact that the Supreme Court just ruled?
Yes, but, okay, they screwed up on the habeas corpus case.
Hold on. Slow down. Okay, but at least you are rational enough to understand that even though you have a dissenting opinion, the majority opinion went against your understanding of the Second Amendment. Now give us your interpretation, because I'll let you do that.
Okay. Just please bear with me, because I'm a citizen.
Oh, please. You're going to read a book on the air now and give us a mailing address and a P.O. box. Give it to us short and sweet, John, please.
Okay. The Federalist 46 states.
All right. Look, John, listen. John, in addition to losing, you know, do you have a gun in your house?
No, I don't.
What would happen if somebody came to break down your door? Who would you call?
It's not relevant to the point. The point is.
Let's say you have a house and you have a door that's barred and you even have a gate outside. And three violent gang members appear outside your gate and they start screaming, "I'm going to get you, John." If you had 30 seconds to make a call, I'm going to give you a choice now. It's A and B. A, you would dial the ACLU. B, you dial 911 for a cop. Who would you call?
911 for a cop, of course.
Because the cop would come with a gun, correct?
Right. But
wait. Now, what if you yourself had a gun in the house? Wouldn't you feel that you could protect yourself better till the cops got there?
Yes, but that has nothing to do with...
Right. That has nothing to do with the fact that you're a confused man and you'll put the law before your common sense, which makes you a perfect liberal. You would put the law before your common sense. But my dear friend John, Samuel Johnson, the great essayist of England, wrote several hundred years ago the following. He wrote, "The law is an ass, A-S-S. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. You say, well, don't get so happy. This can be overturned. I don't think so easily. It's not going to be so overturned. I mean, you know, so easily overturned. And don't forget that this will go down as probably the seminal moment in Bush's legacy. I'm sorry to tell you that, yeah, he's done a lot of terrible things with the borders. I don't want to go through the litany. This is a positive thing. And the Supreme Court's decision is George W. Bush's most important legacy. Why? Why do you say George Bush, Michael? Because for all of his faults, George W. Bush appointed solid conservative justices to the bench, Alito and Roberts. His appointees, along with Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia, defeated the Ginsburg wing of the radical left on the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court rules. And this is the first time it's been voted on. It's never come before the Supreme Court. Think about that one. You say, well, it could come tomorrow, or if, God forbid, Obama wins, he could put someone on the court who's very liberal, and the ACLU will kind of run it up against the new Supreme Court under a new guise. Yeah, it could happen. It could happen. But right now, take your victory and enjoy it. Don't you understand that? You can't sit here every minute you have a victory, you're worrying about a defeat. What kind of life is that? Can't you enjoy a moment? You know, life is a series of moments. This is one of them. And that goes for life itself. You have to take moments in life and enjoy them. This is a moment you should relish. What if you woke up today and you found out that it was the other way? Kennedy went with the psycho libs, and they said, now all your guns are illegal, and there's going to be a plan for the federal government to seize them from you. Would you feel better today if you had read that? There'd be insurrection across this country. Certainly not in West Hollywood. Certainly not in Austin, Texas. Certainly not in San Francisco. But there would have been insurrection throughout the Western regions that are more rural. There would have been insurrection throughout the rural districts in America. There would have been insurrection in the Southeast. In other words, where the real America lives, not the porn belt. The corn belt would have revolted, not the porn belt. North Carolina, Mary, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey. I wanted to talk about the Supreme Court 5-4 decision today. It really made me shudder because, to me, it is just one vote away from me being defenseless in my home to protect.
Yeah, there you go. Sure it is. Sure, that's right. That's how bad it is. That's how bad the liberals are. Yesterday you learned that the four liberals, the wonderful, caring liberals, voted in favor of child rapists, giving them rights again to rape children. 2 weeks ago they voted saying that the Islamo-fascists in Guantanamo have the same rights that an American citizen does, giving terrorists fundamental constitutional protections. They've been stripping our powers every day, these psychopaths. And who's doing it? My opinion, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, former chief counsel for the ACLU, should have been disqualified from day one. But Arlen Specter, the man who gave us the girl in a trunk, Orrin Hatch, the undertaker from Utah, and other rhinos were so polite to Ruth Bader Ginsburg that she's been ruling the roost ever since. And she is like a bossy wife, I read. This came out a few years ago. She's like a pushy, bossy wife inside the halls of the Supreme Court, pushing everyone around with a big yap, according to what I read. What do you mean? You're not allowed to criticize a Supreme Court justice? It's illegal now in the new imperial America? What is she underneath that robe and that bow tie that she wears? She's a mad woman. She's a power mad lunatic, as are the other libs who want to steal our rights. What are we supposed to respect them and say thank you? I'll go along with it. Yeah, I'll pack my little valise and get on the train. No, I'm not going to go along with it. Look, it's a great day for you. Play the national anthem on the way out of this hour, because everybody should rise now. If you're in a car, of course, you can't rise. But otherwise, you really should rise, put your hand on your heart, as I'm going to do, if you can count it down. And we're going to sing the national anthem either silently or... All rise, please. What a great day to be an American. What a great day to be alive. I so feared getting up this morning after the child rape ruling and the terrorist ruling. Those nuts. If I were in power, I would move to impeach Ruth Bader Ginsburg from the Supreme Court and immediately replace her with a middle-of-the-road jurist. She is a radical leftist. Look at her past. ACLU all the way. Age of consent reduced to the age of 12. You heard that? Well, that's how they do it in Europe. That's right. The age of consent, age of 12. Homosexual marriage. Take your guns away. Take your speech away. Take your freedom of assembly away. But I'm a liberal. I'm a liberal. I'm a liberal. Listen to my accent. I speak in high tones. I'm high class. I'm high class. I'm a liberal. Mussolini. You're all Mussolinis in skirts.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. You'll notice that you can contribute to the Legal Defense Fund under a new address. The mail goes to the Michael Savage, that's if a check, a money order, cash, Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. And God bless you for helping protect freedom of speech. I bicycle to a mall. I normally don't eat at the mall. I just bicycle there for exercise and to look at people. To gape at the fools of Marin County, to see boys being raised as girls, to see girls being raised as boys, to see children being raised to have their throats cut as the enemy raises their children to kill and cut throats. We raise our children to be sensitive and compassionate. So you see little boys walking around like girls with long hair, practically swishing at age 7, with the mother approving of the little girl she's raising in a boy's body. I don't say anything. I just watch. I'm merely an observer. And I wonder, where are we going to get a generation of men who can shoot guns and kill them before they kill us? I don't know. They're going to come out of the middle. I don't know where they're going to come. So then I was hungry. I didn't want to go home and make a tuna fish sandwich before going to the radio station. So I go into this French cafe. Now, you understand that I made a mistake going in. It's been there for 2 years. I've never eaten there. I wasn't in the mood for a meal. I figured I'd have a salad. So I figured it's a bistro French, but I knew it was going to be bad. I go in right away. I said, give me the French onion soup. Is it ready? Yes, the Mexican says. I said, all right, give me a salad. Is it ready? 2 minutes. I'm outside. 10 minutes, nothing. I go in with my number. I said, hey, I said I have to go to work. Trabajo, work. Where's the onion soup? Oh, it's coming, senor. I said, if it doesn't come now, give me my money back. I got to go to work. So then they bring me the soup. Need I tell you what they do to cheat people? French onion soup, the broth, must cost 1 cent per cup, if it costs that. The bowl, which was $4.99, had bread in it, some cheese, and 1 spoon of broth at the bottom of the bread. So I said, I can't believe this. I just can't believe they would do this to people. And I'm hungry. I mean, it wasn't the money. I called for the manager, who was a white guy, a skinny French twerp. And I said, do you manage this restaurant? I said, nicely, yes, sir. I said, look, there was a spoon of broth. You see, you picked the bread up. There's nothing there. Yes, sir. I said, don't put any more bread in it. Just give me broth. He brings it back. He says, I refilled your bowl. I look in it again. Full of bread. I pull the bread out. There's 2 spoons of broth. You know what I did? I ate it and left. Because that's what it is. But what do you expect from the French, particularly French in Marin County, California, who know they can get away with murder because the people are like their sons. The people are like their sons, living in a bubble of stupidity. Not understanding the danger they are in. Not comprehending that the little psychotic Hitler of Iran will kill them all unless he is killed first. Not comprehending that radical Islam is here. It is near. It is everywhere. Not comprehending that the radical right wing, as expressed by Michael Savage, is their best friend. Not comprehending a damn thing about reality. Living in a dream world. Not comprehending the danger they are in. I said to myself as I left.
Savage.
Newspapers trim workforces as advertising slows. Again, the big lie. See, this is what I notice. The Republicans are dying as a party, and they don't know why. The Democrats have died as a party, and they don't know why. The newspapers are dying as an institution in America, and they lie to themselves. They say advertising is slowing down. They don't even understand why people have stopped buying the newspaper. And they start, now they hire consultants. One schmuck says, Anytime you reduce the staffing of a journalistic enterprise, it's inevitable you're going to lower the quantity and quality of the journalistic product. Okay. So they're all blaming it on a reduction in advertising. And so they're firing people through buyouts. But why is it that New York Times shares have fallen by 17% so far this year? Why is it that Wall Street has hit newspaper stocks very heavily? The answer is not so much because advertising has slowed down as they are lying to themselves about. It is because they are attacking America. They are attacking the family. They are attacking the culture. They are attacking the war. They are attacking the soldiers. They're attacking the flag. They're attacking the church. They're attacking Israel on a daily basis. And so the people who normally buy newspapers and said, I'm fed up with it, a pox upon your house, I'm not buying it anymore. I don't want to see this rubbish. They don't buy it. Of course, the internet has come along. Of course, advertising down a little. But doesn't matter. People would still buy the newspaper if they saw a modicum of anything they believed in there. Nothing. Nothing. Everything is negative about America and about the family. And there's nothing patriotic because you have a whole generation of despoiled writers for these scribblers for the newspapers who come out of bent out of shape from these schools of journalism. I know who runs them. And what do you expect? It's sad. They're not bad people. They're just misled. And they couldn't get any other profession. They couldn't make it as a dentist or an accordionist. So they figured they'll do journalism. That you can get through on pot no matter what you're on. A little rehab along the way. Let's say in the third year you drop out for a year and a half in a rehab clinic. You could still get a degree in journalism. It would tend to diminish your capacity to become a surgeon, but it wouldn't interfere with your desire to become a journalist. In fact, it might increase your chances of getting hired by the Detroit Free Press if you spent a year in rehab. If you spent 2 years in rehab, I guarantee you the New York Times takes you on right out of rehab. They may even look for their next Johnny newsboy in the rehab clinics, now that I think about it. That could be the place where they're recruiting them.
Savage.
I think I'll tell you about my car, the Sadist. We've gone from Herbie the Love Bug to Herman the Sadmobile in a very few generations here. Today I get it back from the dealer, and the LED comes on and says that I have a flat tire. So I stop the car. I get out of the car. I'm on the roadside, and I'm sweating. I just got showered, ready to go to the radio station. I go around. There's no flat tire. I go back in. You can't turn off the thing. It's an exclamation point. It says, you have a flat tire. Now, I just came back from the dealer. Why? Because I had it towed out of the driveway like a week ago, I don't know when, because the key wouldn't go into the slot. It kept coming out saying, ha, ha, ha. I'd push in the electronic key and it would come out. No matter what I did, I push it in, it pushed out. I push it in, it pushes out. I thought I heard like a mocking laugh in the background going, ha, 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 but I could be imagining it. So the car dies in the driveway. I have to call a dealer. They tow it away. This is a brand new expensive car with a crazy, sadistic computer drive in the middle that nobody can work. Nobody. For a year, I couldn't get the radio to work. Now I can't program the radio. It's all crack music on FM. They get a driver who sends it over. They know how to work it. Every station is, I'm going to drop my pants, and I'm going to hit the cup, I'm going to make the girl, and hit the back. I'm going to do it. Every station that I turn on is another variance of illiteracy and anti-American degeneracy. So I try to put it on to AM manual. I almost get a station I could listen to. Bingo, it's right back there. I'm going to bang that thing. I'm going to break your head. I couldn't believe it, so I turn it off, so I have no radio in the car. You turn the heater on, the seat moves. You turn the windshield wipers on, you get sprayed in the eye if the window is open. Gorgeous car, great road car. The best road car I ever owned. The problem is you can't work the radio, you can't work the heater, you can't work the seat. And now my car, the Sadist, tells me that I have a flat tire when I don't. The navigation system, you could turn the car over trying to see it. You need a magnifying glass while you're driving. You ever try to program a nav system in a car while you're moving? Any one of them is no good. But this is the worst of any car I ever owned. Bar none, I've never seen anything like it. And they have another sadistic element to this navigation system that I must tell you about. It's a trick. Herman the Sadmobile has a little trick built into the computer chip. Let's say you put the navigation system. First it says, and it says you have to say, I accept. And then you hit the thing. Then something goes on. So then you pull the knob while you're driving and hope you don't run a chicken over. And it goes on to the navigation system if you pull it a certain way and radio the other way. So now I have the map comes up. Now the trick comes up. It gives you six choices when the map comes up. If you hit the wrong choice, a voice starts talking to you that you cannot turn off. It says, go two blocks and turn left. Now, you don't want the instructions, but they keep giving it to you. And there's no way to turn it off unless you stop the car and turn it off. Now, that's if you hit the wrong knob. So I've learned how to bypass that. It's like the whole thing is like an obstacle course. Wonderful car, gorgeous, best driving car I ever had. I can't wait till the lease is up so I can give it back. And I may buy like the simplest, most basic, non-technical car if they can still make them. I don't know if they can make a car anymore. Now it tells me I have a flat tire. I'm afraid of getting the car. It's liable to give the car flat tires. I left it in the garage at the radio station today because it had no flat tires, but it was still reading flat tire, flat tire, flat tire. So I called the dealer. I said to him, it says I have a flat tire. He says, oh, that's because it reads, if it goes down to 5 pounds below the normal inflation on any tire, it says you have a flat tire. I said, but you just serviced it. Shouldn't they put air in the tire? Now I'm afraid I'll go in the garage and Hermann the Sademobile will have given me an automatic flat tire. For all I know, they designed it so that if you don't service a flat tire, they'll give you one just to make sure the computer feels good. What can I tell you? That's the world I live in. I feel like the political cowardice that I'm facing every day is like Hermann the Sademobile. It makes no sense. It's like a machine out of control.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
We're living in extraordinary times. The last thing we need is a sourpuss feminist left over from the 60s bringing back the panoply of maniacs like Janet Reno, Madeleine Halfbright, who bombed Serbia for no reason whatsoever, and the other killers and murderers who are under the guise of putting themselves off as some great heroes. Reincarnated before God, they pay for their crimes. In this world, they get away with murder. But I've lived through some historic times in my life. You won't believe this. And here they are. Look what I have seen in my lifetime. I want to show you how long I've been around this planet so you're going to get a feeling of what I've seen in my lifetime. One, Superman defeated by every man in World War II. Two, the first atomic bomb used in warfare. The establishment of the State of Israel. The popularization of television. This is all in my lifetime. The popularization of air conditioning, the popularization of air travel, the popularization of the personal computer, the invention of the internet, the assassinations of John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, and Martin Luther King Jr. I've seen the first man walk on the moon. I've seen the mainstreaming of homosexuality. I've seen the complete integration of blacks and whites. I've seen the development of mass welfare for unproductive citizens. I've seen the destruction of America's judicial system by corrupt lawyers. I've seen the meltdown of America's borders. I've seen the self-genocide of America's European-American majority through a mass abortion and mass tolerance of diverse sexualities. I've seen the acceptance of narcotics. I've seen the debasement of religion. I've seen the takeover of corporations by gamblers and con men. I've seen the elimination of grades in many schools. I've seen the introduction of racial quota systems. I've seen the impeachment of a president. What will I see in the future? Well, that's for you to decide, not me. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. There are many interesting articles up on my website today, which I hope to get to in the next hour. Now, if you think I'm being unfair by talking about the rotten fruit of the rotten guava on the jungle floor of the Hillary Clinton campaign, and make no mistake about it, she's put them in the back right now. She's buried Ann Lewis. Don't come out. Not now. Janet Reno, shut your mouth. Halfbright appeared. They got her right off the stage. How that hag got up there, no one knows. Almost destroyed her in New Hampshire. The hag. Hated. 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 Throughout America. Hated. Albright. Hated. A maniac. The minute she wins, if God forbid she wins, all these hags come out from behind the curtain. But wait, hold on. I want to show you how fair I am. Who do you think is coming out to support John McCain? A group of menopausal men are men who pause because their pores lack claws, I wrote. menopausal men are men who pause because their pores lack claws. Lawrence Eagleburger, George Shultz, Marlon Fitzwater. I swear, I mean, they're not bad people, but we don't need 80-year-olds coming out to support McCain. These are stalwarts from another political era. They all worked for Reagan. God bless them. They're Reagan alumni. Lawrence Eagleburger, George Shultz, Marlon Fitzwater, real household names. Alexander M. Haig Jr. I actually love his work. I think he's a great guy. Margaret Tutwiller, General P.X. Kelly, Dan Coats. These are stalwarts from another political era. They're 93 self-proclaimed Reagan alumni. Now insist that Senator John McCain will win. Now, McCain, as you well know, is a Wall Street favorite because he's for open borders. No matter what he says, he's for open borders. He got booed, by the way, recently booed. Once you get the media out of the way and you let the people near him, you'll feel what's going on. You'll really know what's going on. The following former members of the Reagan administration have endorsed McCain. I don't even know who these guys are, so if I read the names, it mean nothing to you. Ralph Benko? Hello? Who is he? I don't know who these people are. I guess they're self-important Republicans from another time. I don't recognize any of their names. I don't know who they are. I could read these names. I don't know any of them. Not one name rings a bell. Lawrence Eagleburger, I know. Marlon Fitzwater, I think, invented seltzer. Alexander Haig Jr., I had him on the show about a year ago. He's a great guy. I don't know what he's currently doing, but he's a great man. Retired General P.X. Kelly, I think he invented the soccer ball. Ann Karalogos. Oh, that's a real great. I don't know who it is. Carolyn Kuhn. Who are these? I don't know who these people are. I'm sorry. Robert C. McFarlane. Didn't he invent the Ford Fairlane? Patricia O'Connor Roberts. She's not related to Judge Roberts, is she, in any way? Who are these people? Sig Rokich. They're supporting McCain. You get the picture, though. George Shultz. George Shultz never misses a charity dinner or lunch in San Francisco. Wherever there's a meeting or some kind of charity dinner, there's George Shultz giving a stump speech. Nice guy, fishy eyes. I guess he likes rubber chicken. Have no idea. Everywhere you go, there he is. And Charlotte Mailet Swig Schultz. There they are. Rubber chicken dinners and them. Nice people. But hello.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
WOR, Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation. Where do you stand on the evolution question?
I believe that the nexus of science and theology is actually biblical and can be found in the actual words of the original Hebrew in the Bible. The very first word of the Bible, Bereshis in Hebrew, mistranslated as in the beginning, is a testament to your position on God having created other existence prior to the existence related in Genesis. God says, Bereshis, it is buh. Buh is the indefinite article, not the definite article, the. It is in a beginning. It is the construct form grammatically.
Hold on, stop right there. Stop. You are a biblical scholar, I take it, Jeff. You read the original Hebrew?
Yes, I do.
So I assume you've had an education beyond high school?
In several disciplines.
So in the original Hebrew, the Bible says not in the beginning, but in a beginning?
In a beginning of God creating heaven and earth. The word created, and again, the appropriate exegesis of the language is a...
Hold on. Someone may not understand that word. You're not actually using the name of the Christian God. You said exegesis. You didn't say Jesus, correct?
No, I did not say Jesus. I said exegesis as an interpreter.
Okay. Well, that's a big word for many of my listeners, particularly those who don't believe in evolution.
Well, I guess if one's intelligence is correspondent with one's intellectual acumen and education, then such language is a function of ordinary conversation, isn't it?
So, Jeff, you are a biblical scholar, and where do you come out on evolution and God?
I believe that that God created humankind with the dynamic of evolution, with the ability to adapt to circumstances, situations, and to live with a sense of dynamic. God ordained us, God mandated us to subdue the universe. That is a declaration of learning science, becoming knowledgeable. The first element of creation is in a beginning. It's beginning. It's time. God first creates time. Then God creates, and creates, by the way, in Latin, refers to creatio ex nihilo, to create something out of nothing. And God creates heaven, transcendental space, and earth, physical space. Time, space, continuum.
So why, let me ask you a political question on this subject. Why is there a certain tendency now in certain quarters of America to reject evolution? Where is this coming from?
I believe that it threatens the intellectual ability to interpret and understand that there's a certain level of culpability that humankind has for its own actions.
So in other words, they want to create everything is God's will. We have no free will. We're going back to where we're just automatons, where it's all preordained. Not only was man created out of whole cloth, but one's life is preordained as well. Does that go hand in hand with the people who are anti-evolution?
That is correct. There's a definite sense, almost of a predetermined, predisposed circumstance under which we relieve ourselves of liability and culpability for our own actions. I'm sorry.
So in other words, the very same retrograde tendencies that we see in radical Islam, where there is no free will, is now occurring in certain quarters in America? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is what I'm saying. And I believe very much that to be the case. I believe that if you examine the nature of religious history and the evolution of religion, Islam itself is the result of evolution of religion. Muhammad took all of the religions available to him at the time. He took Christianity and made Jesus a prophet. He took Judaism and made Abraham and Moses prophets so that Islam would attract the Christians and the Jews. It was, in his mind, the ultimate evolutionary position of religious doctrine.
So we're having this seminar now on the Savage Nation, Jeff. Bible says God created the heaven and the earth, and he did so in 7 days. It does not say he experimented and created first the Neanderthal, etc. So now how do you answer those doubts and fears in a person?
The Bible indicates that God is proactive and responsive. I'm going to identify a narrative that takes place in the time of Moses. The children of Israel are with Moses in the desert, and God has given them the laws of inheritance. And the laws of inheritance are directed toward the sons of the fathers. And one of the families, the father's name is Tselafchad, he has only daughters. And the daughters come to Moses, and they complain to Moses that they have been now excluded by virtue of their gender. Moses said, you know, that's a really great point. Let me check it out. He picks up the red phone. He calls God. He says, God, listen, we have a problem. These daughters of Tselafchad are complaining about the laws of inheritance. What do I do? God says to Moses, you know what? They've got a valid position. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to change this and do this, and we're going to give them the right to inherit within these parameters. This is a God that is proactive, a God that is involved, is concerned, a God who adjusts. Now, it is our belief paradigm that God is omnipotent, God is all-powerful, God is omniscient, God knows everything, and that God is perfect. Well, if God is perfect, how can God make a mistake? And the answer is God does not make mistakes. The mistake is our misunderstanding and misinterpretation of that which God does. And absent a cumulative knowledge of the ancients, of the language, of the culture, the philosophy, and the theosophy, as well as the theology, far be it from any of us to assume that we have even the slightest inkling of what it is that God is doing. I had a bris the other day, and I was asked.
Explain what that means to the audience. That's a ritual circumcision.
Ritual circumcision, right? I'm sorry. And I was asked by several people there, what is it, Rabbi, what is it that God wants of us? What does God want? And I thought for a moment, and I said, no, I have been studying God's words my entire life. And I cherish God's words, and I cherish God's poetry, and I cherish the beauty and the meaning of God's words. And I figured it out. I know what it is that God wants of us. May I share it with you?
Please.
God wants us to care about each other. Sounds very simple.
You know, I got to stop. I've got to stop right here because I happen to think your call was sent by God. I'm not saying that you're a mystical creature. I know you're real somewhere in New York. But when I woke up this morning, I was perplexed as to what I wanted to talk about today. And I couldn't form a real show. The news is boring, fundamentally. It's not that interesting. So I was reverting to my comedic self, which always works, because I can be a funny guy when I want to be, and I'm in the right mood. And the people enjoy it. They need a break, too. But, you know, the words that kept going through my mind from the morning shower onward all day long that I couldn't get out of my mind, Jeff, the words were man's inhumanity to man, man's inhumanity to man. This theme of man's inhumanity to man is what's playing out on television day and night. The world is descending into barbarism and into madness all over again. What we thought we left behind in the last century is coming back to haunt us, perhaps. I fear it'll be worse than the last century. In the last century, as you know, over 100 million people were slaughtered because of the false belief system called Marxism or communism. 100 million people were killed because of the false god of communism. God knows how many people are going to be killed in this century because of a religious conflict being instigated and fomented by psychotic imams around the planet. What is going to save us? If you are such a believer in God, do you think light will prevail? Do you think life will prevail? Or do you think that these throwbacks will drag the world back 1,000 years into darkness?
No, I think that one has to be optimistic, and one has to understand that optimism tempered with the realism of our very, very uncivilized civilization. We have lost our sense of civility, but we have not as yet fallen into the abyss of which you speak. I think we are certainly losing ground rather quickly, but I...
How much worse does it get than Columbia University, under the guise of diversity, teaching these abominations to the children? Masochism, sadism, whipping people on the stage, and the so-called enlightened liberals like Bollinger, the president, say nothing about this. This is a once great university. Is this not a symbol of the decline and fall of the West?
I think that it's certainly a shout-out, to use the vernacular of the day, and a very coarse and abrupt reminder that we've got to reassess and reevaluate our moral compass and get back online here. We've got to learn that our future as a human race, our future as a civilization, is very much a function of our ability to reintegrate a sense of decency and kindness and culture that is rooted in understanding the divinity that is manifest in every human being.
Because yes. I let flies out of a screen, for example. It's not because I know the fly. It's because I understand the DNA in that fly. I understand the complexity of the fly. I've seen the fly under a microscope. I've looked at a fly's eye under a microscope as a child. I understand a fly's wing, what a miraculous creation a fly is. And so, therefore, if the fly doesn't bother me, why not let it out of the room? To me, it's a way of making a prayer to God himself when I let a fly out of a room. I don't know if anyone can understand that. Maybe they think I'm, you know, crazy by saying a thing like that. But I don't need to kill a fly, in other words, just for the sake of killing a fly. If I'm walking and I see ants, must I crush the ant? Or if I have the choice, can I step over the ant? Why do I step over the ant? Does the ant bother me? Who put the ant on the planet? What is the ant doing, after all? The ant is doing his own business, minding his own business. So I tread lightly on the earth. But I will tell you that I see people who have no regard for human life, no regard for humanity. They would wash this earth in blood in the name of their false god. And I wonder if we in the West, have not become too delicate for this battle. This is a religious time in America, as you know, the Christian world. Although it seems to be about shopping, it's also about worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ for the Christian people, a benevolent religion, the greatest religion the world has ever seen in its modern form in terms of civility. I think you would have to agree with that. There's no other religion on earth that permits every other religion to function within it with such benevolence, in my opinion. I have a question for you to think about, because you're the man I want the answer to, and just bear with me. The radical Muslim says that the West is corrupt and degenerate and sexually obsessed, and therefore we must all be butchered. And he wants to bring back the word of God. So he does so how? By insulting God, by slaughtering people and torturing them and cutting their heads off. Could God actually want people who are immoral to be killed in order to purify the world? And if that is so, what is more immoral? Sexual excess or murdering and slaughtering an innocent?
Three things very quickly to answer your question. Number one, the transgression of Sodom and Gomorrah was a function of man's inhumanity to man, and Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed.
Wait a minute. So in other words, when a man behaves in such a manner, or a woman behaves in such a manner as described, they are committing inhumanity to themselves and to other men.
That is correct.
These are inhuman acts.
These are inhuman acts, and these are acts that are a function of a lack of respect for the divinity that is manifest in each and every one of us.
So when we hear that such activity is diversity and that we should all open ourselves up to it, we're hearing is the word of the lie, the word of the devil.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
I just flew back from L.A. I had planned to spend at least a couple of days there, but anyway, for whatever the reason, I'm back in my San Francisco studio. I can't wait to get home whenever I go away. I don't know what it is. I'm a homebody, you know. Like, I'm a guy, once you get to know a certain area at a certain point in your life, for better or for worse, it's your home. And when you get to know every corner of the San Francisco Bay, as I know from boating, and I can name every bird on the bay. I don't mean by name. I could mean by species. I can name the birds of the bay. I know the points, Point Blount to wherever you want to name it. I know the coves. I know the names of most of the trees and many of the plants. This is called my home. I am not going to let people drive me out of here. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they say. That is why people fight for their homeland. This is my homeland. And L.A. is really a strange place to me. I got a new suit. I didn't hate it or anything like I did over Halloween. That was a product of the decadence and the partying, truthfully, which I can't take. It's a great scene in L.A. for a younger person. It's a loud, hysterical, you know, city. But I don't know how anyone could live there after the age of 30. I tell you the truth. I just don't know where they'd have to end up. Certainly you can't live in down, you know, you can't do the scene down there. It's unbelievable. I was in an Italian restaurant Saturday night. All right, the food was fairly good. And it was a change for me from my normal depressing old person San Francisco area Italian restaurant where, you know, that's what it is. I can't eat when people are screaming. They were screaming, and I mean screaming. The decibel level was louder than, let's say, two 1,500 horsepower MTU engines without any covers on them, without exhausts on them. I never heard anything like it. I don't know how people can eat around it. Screaming, yelling. I can't understand why young people enjoy that kind of scene. And then there was like music behind it on top of it all. But all right, the owner was a friend of my son, and we had a nice time, and you know, for that regard, I kept going out every 5 minutes with a glass of wine to stand in the street, to stand out on the boulevard and look at the bums and the other people going by. I could hardly eat. But, you know, if you like poseurs, if you like watching the phonies, it's a nice place to watch poseurs. The guy who pulls up, for example, with the Escalade, and he jumps out with a 6'5" bodyguard, and the bodyguard looks as big as a mountain, and he precedes the guy who got out of the car. Now the guy walks into the restaurant and he looks around. He scans the landscape. doesn't order a drink. Everyone, oh, hello, 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 Bob, hello, you. And he has a single name, like Dodger. Hello, Dodger. Hi, Dodger. Hello, Dodger. Hello, Dodger. And the bodyguard stares at everybody. Then Dodger doesn't buy so much as a glass of wine. Dodger then leaves. Why did he leave? Well, you figure out why. Then Dodger leaves, and I ask a few people, who was that guy with the big bodyguard? He says to me, we don't know, but he's got a lot of money. I said, how do you know he has a lot of money? He says, we heard he has a lot of money. So I inquire a little further of some of the limousine drivers who were there with some of the other young conspicuous consumers. And one said to the other, well, that isn't even his bodyguard. That guy works as a bouncer down the street as a club, and he does this on occasion. So as you start to uncouple the onion, as you start to unfold the onion, you get the picture pretty clearly of the scene. That's it. If you enjoy that kind of thing, God, you know, go and enjoy it. The girls know how to dress. I got to hand it to them, you know, and there's an awful large supply of pointy shoes in Hollywood. That's all I can say. It's the land of the pointy shoe. But these young girls can't get married. Nice-looking girls, they can't get married. Why can't they get married? There's a thousand reasons. What guy is going to marry someone who is, let's say, been on the market, let's put it delicately, for so many number of years? Who wants to marry a party girl from Los Angeles or from Hollywood? No matter how beautiful she is, what is her chance of getting married at age 29 to 30? Very, very low. And so there it is. I mean, you know, I don't know how the guys find anyone. I don't know how the girls find anybody. I don't know who finds anybody anymore.
Savage.
1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Richard in Las Vegas, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I need your help interpreting some of this funny language from UC Berkeley. You see, right. I've just finished my undergraduate study work in physics, and I'm applying to graduate school at UC Berkeley for physics. And they want me to write an essay about how I might serve educationally underrepresented segments of society with my degree.
Oh, what a bunch of garbage. So here you are, a brilliant science student. You're applying to graduate school, and they're giving you the communist litmus test?
Oh, yeah.
What in the world does physics have to do with underserved communities? What do they want you to tell them how you would teach physics to a Native American?
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage.